couple of minutes on both readings. Second Timothy is written most probably by someone else at Paul's dictation and direction. It's astonishing when you teach these, you move from the classical letters of Paul to these pastoral letters. The language is completely different. The style is completely different. But tradition has always said these are letters of Paul, and they are. But he probably said, look, this is the way I want you to put this letter out. And then he'd check it out. But there are words in these letters that belong to Hellenistic piety. Very sophisticated. Take them and claim them for Christ. So they're quite beautiful. And they do give an example of zeal in caring for God's people. See, an apostle is someone who preaches the gospel where it hasn't been preached before and founds communities and governs them. Well, what happens, obviously, once you start governing a community, you're not going to go around preaching with the same facility. So, that was a problem in the early church. It's still a problem. But Cardinal Ratzinger came up with quite an interesting, and this is why I'm sharing it, observation. He said the Pope, he has pastoral care of the whole church. How can he go out and evangelize? Well, of course, John Paul II managed to do quite well, traveling from place to place, you see. But Ratzinger said the evangelistic arm of the Pope are the lay movements. Go preach the gospel. The lay movements are the evangelical arm of the Pope. That's why he gathers them to himself. The charismatic renewal began all over the place, and it was exuberant in both senses of the term. So the Pope said, let's have an organization where they can all relate to me. And that's this confraternity of charismatic communities. But it's not just organizing holiness clubs. You know, it's to live the gospel deeply and preach it. The reason why Ratzinger said what he said is because lay people are already there. If I can preach in church, everybody comes to me. But who will come? Believers. And some who are coming sort of by force of habit, you know, they don't really know what's going on and maybe not even care, but you should do something once in a while so they show up. They can be difficult at the end of Mass too. Why did you say this? Occupational hazard. I mean, but who takes care? You see, the priest, the parish priest, takes care of them. But we have to realize that you are the evangelistic outreach and arm of the Pope. You've got to do what he can't do. He's bishop of the whole church. Now, he managed quite well in his travels, as does Pope Benedict. But the day-by-day touch of the gospel to the society is in the hands of the laity. So what does that mean? You've got to pray every day. There can be no way out of that. And it's got to be for a minimum of a half hour, a minimum. If you can get up early enough, you can pray for an hour. And many do. I remember in the old days, some of the men got up at 4 in the morning and prayed a lot, and then drove all the way down to Virginia, wherever they had to go. But you got to pray, because you won't have anything to say, and you won't be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who is the evangelizer. And you have to be sent by the Holy Spirit. Remember how the apostles, when they wrote the letter up to Antioch there, said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. See, the Holy Spirit is the divine life of the church. And so, that's why when the Lord, having mercy on the whole world and on the church, poured out all these gifts in the charismatic renewal, and then in all the other groups, CL, Focolarini, whatever. See, the renewal is vanilla. And then if you add chocolate, you get CL. If you add strawberry, you get... But the fundamental, basic vanilla, the basis of all of them, and I discussed this with Cardinal Stafford, is the renewal. I did that because in 1998, when there was the first Congress, I guess it was, at Pentecost in Rome, there were 300,000 or 400,000 people, laymen, laywomen, gathering. And the Pope addressed them. That's where Ratzinger gave that talk that I just referred to about the lay people being the evangelistic arm of the Pope. And if you have never read that discourse of the Pope, I'm sure if you just go John Paul II, Pentecost, 1998, I think it is, it'll come up. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter. The vision that he, Ratzinger, and a couple of others had when they finally caught on to what was going on. I remember we had a meeting of the international leaders, and we had a meeting with the Pope. He was still trying to figure out at that time what this was all about. And so he symbolically said, I love the way you pray and so forth. I can only get my arms up this high, meaning, you know, I got to get convinced more before I can. And he was, finally. Finally, in the second of those meetings, he said, everybody, look. Look at what these lay movements are doing. You know, see them for what they are. A work of the Holy Spirit. You see? So, that's evangelization. The whole church has to evangelize. And the lay people are put right where they can evangelize. We're living in a world, the blindness of this world is frightening. Short-sightedness, the consistent elimination of any recourse to anything transcendent. It's a huge intellectual battle going on. And it gets to everybody this way. When I was in the hospital over there in Denmark, there were these young, it was a training hospital as well as a, you know, so a lot of young people around, young Danes. And they were beautiful people. They really were. But regarding God, they would say, you know, we don't know if there's a God. We don't even know if it makes any difference. Now, they have got to be, I would be preaching all day from my bed, you know. And but they liked me. I mean, you know, they wanted to hear more. I can still remember this, and then I'll end this informal reflection on why it's not just Timothy and Titus who are addressed in this letter. It's everybody. There was a young fellow there, and he was next to me in the bed. No, he was probably ministering to me somehow. And he dropped something. And he said, "Jesus." And then he looked at me. He said, "Was that wrong?" I said, "Yes, that was wrong. But it's not too serious in you yet, because you don't know who he is. It's just a word." And he looked at me very seriously. And that's all I could do at that moment was, you know, give him. But yeah, that was wrong. But it's not as serious because you don't know who he really is. But I challenge you to go find out. A lot of our own youth are like that now. I mean, there's a crowd who have been led into hedonism, and they're lost souls. And our Lord and our Lady weep over them, you know, to bring them back before they die. But there's a whole bunch of other ones. They're nice kids, you know. Zip when it comes to anything transcendent. God and all that. But they're good kids. And they deserve to hear the gospel.